Madam President.
The Senator from West Virginia.
Thank you. First, I want to apologize to the people of West Virginia. I'm embarrassed and ashamed as a United States member of Congress how we are acting. I've been up answering phones in my office. They're upset, and I said, well, you're not as upset as I am. I've got a front row seat, and it's not pretty. This is not what we were sent here to do. It's not what I signed up for. It's not what I asked the people in West Virginia to allow me to represent what I consider the greatest state in the nation. And I'm sure each one of us feel the same way about our states and the wonderful people. I've always looked at public service as an opportunity to fix problems, to make life better, to be able to use the wisdom and skills that we receive through just our experiences in life and watching people and the compassion we have for people to try to make it better. Shutting down government is simply unacceptable. I don't care any way you look at this. It's just unacceptable. This is the first time in 17 years, Madam President, that our government is not open for business. First time in 17 years that we're not open. This is self-inflicted. This didn't happen by any outside forces. This has all been self-inflicted. It not only hurts the people of West Virginia deeply, it hurts people all over this country. And they're feeling the effects. This is only the second day, but it's 2 days too long. Most of you know I'm pretty moderate. I'm very conservative on fiscal issues. This is how we were raised. We were respected to pay our bills, to take care of our debts, and to take care of ourselves and our family. So I watched that very carefully. When I became governor, the first thing I did was trying to put the financial house in order in West Virginia so that basically I could take care of our values. And that was our priorities based on who we wanted, our children to have an opportunity. We never cut any services during the recession. We took care of our seniors with the dignity and respect and pride that they should have. We took care of our veterans. We just couldn't be everything to everybody, but we really watched our dollars and got our financial house in order. So I look at it from that standpoint where I come from as a proud West Virginia Democrat. But also, I'm very compassionate on social issues. I really believe watching my grandparents and watching my family and the little town of Farmington, West Virginia, where I grew up, people expected you to do things. They expect you to really chip in and help people. But they expect you to help yourself also. And they expect you to take care of those who couldn't, less fortunate. And I've always taken that with me in every aspect of public service. I think I'm reasonable and willing to compromise and work with anybody on any issue. I've always put my state's interest in, ahead of my party politics. I don't make any excuses. I really believe that I'm absolutely a privileged person to be living in the greatest country on earth and being a member of a great family in a great state of West Virginia. But I'm an American, I'm a West Virginian, and then I'm a Democrat from West Virginia. And I have dear, dear friends who are Republicans from West Virginia and from all over the country. So when I look at the cause of this problem that we have right now, it was about finances, strictly about finances. Can we continue to pay? I looked at also the way that I thought the Democrats truly looked at this, and they said, fine, we'll agree to the 986 number, $986 billion. That was the Republicans' request to keep the spending level. The Democrats would have loved to have the $1,058 trillion, so they reduced it $90 billion. To me, that was a good compromise. We can live within that 986. We got to tighten our belts a little bit, but we're good at that in West Virginia, and we did it. And then all of a sudden, the Affordable Health Care Act, or the Obamacare, as people have referred to it, becomes the issue. There's a lot of things in that piece of legislation that I don't agree with. I don't know how I would have voted if I was here. I would have tried to make what I would have thought constructive changes. But you know what? It's the law. And I said, I'm in a mode that I would call a reform, repair, and then repeal parts that we can't fix. I don't know that yet. We've got to get in there and do it. Now, I'm probably part of the problem and caused some of this because I made a statement. We were talking to some people, and they were asking me, what do you think is going to happen? I said, well, for my colleagues and friends on the other side of the aisle, my Republican friends, I would think that they would look, and if they really want to talk about health care, can it be extended for 1 year before it takes the effect of the law? I didn't mean to postpone it. I didn't mean to stop it and don't start until next year. I meant the fines and the penalties. Think about this. I'm very much opposed to the individual mandate, but I understand it's part of the process. But I would have thought, why won't we have a transition year? So the law takes effect as of yesterday. It has. We've got people trying to find the best opportunity they have. In my little state, we don't have a lot of options. So I want to make sure that the people that have good insurance are able somehow to keep that. There's got to be a way we can work through that. I want to make sure the people that have no insurance and have never been able to buy insurance can now be able to afford it. I want to make sure of that. I want to make sure that people that had pre-existing conditions or they had a child that was born with a condition are able to keep the insurance that they now have that they couldn't have before. I want to make sure that basically the senior citizens in West Virginia that basically are going to fill the donut hole they have to out of their pocket they couldn't afford is taken care of. They can go get an exam on an annual basis and not have to pay a copayment from their Medicare. Those are all good things, and I know that my good friends on the Republican side feel the same way about some of this. Why would you want to throw the baby out with the bathwater when all you have to do is maybe change the water every now and then, and we have a little clean water we can bathe the baby again in? These are the sensible solutions, and where I was raised, looking at how do you fix it. I can assure you of this. I've never fixed a problem by calling somebody else a name. I've never chastised somebody for their beliefs. I really haven't. I've tried to think of, okay, if I was in their shoes, how could we fix this? And when I was governor, I used to sit down with people on the opposite side, and I'm thinking, okay, in the profession that we're in, public service, how do I allow them to go home to save face? How do I allow them to have some comfort that they're able to bring constructive ideas to the table that basically makes it better? I've always thought of that. So you're not going to hear me saying that we're right and they're wrong. In this case here, I will say that please don't have this self-inflicted pain on the people of my state of West Virginia or your state or this country. There could be a time when we're not able to stop what might be happening. The market forces might push us in a direction that we can't control. This is something we can control. And all we're asking for, please, let government continue. If you want to talk about a big grand plan, which I hope we do, which is fixing the financial condition, getting our financial house in order. I've been a big supporter of Bowles Simpson. It's the only bipartisan package that's been on the table since I've been here. There's an awful lot of things that people say, well, I don't like this, I don't like that. None of them have said that it's not what needs to be done. It's a three-pronged approach. That's the big fix we've talked about. But we're not talking about any of that. We're talking about things we don't like. We're talking about people we don't like. We're calling people names. And it just doesn't fix things. It doesn't make it right. So you will hear me continue talk about the grand bargain. This is a time between now and the debt ceiling. And I will say this about the debt ceiling. Raising the debt doesn't fix the debt. Continue to raise the debt. We need to have a path to fix it. We shouldn't be going through this political fight every 3-6 months. This is the fifth time that I've been in a debt ceiling. How many times have we voted on the so-called health care, Obamacare? It's ridiculous to continue to fight the same fight over and over. I would hope that we are in a reform, a repair, and then repeal when you can't fix. When you've given it your all for the betterment of our country, and it's just not fixable or doable, then you change. We haven't gotten there yet. We got all naysayers and people just to basically that just don't want change. I've got too many people that need the services of government. I've got too many people that depend on it. And not that I believe that they shouldn't be dependent. I would hope that people would be independent. But government's so intertwined in all of our lives. And to just say you want to stop it all is wrong. And so I would ask my dear friends and my colleagues on the Republican side to please think about a continuing resolution. Please, we've come to the agreement on the number that you wanted of 986. Health care, if you wanted to bring up the Keystone Pipeline, I'm a total supporter of Keystone Pipeline for energy independence. I'm an all-in energy person. Use whatever we have. It's not the place for it. As much as I would like to see it, it's not the place for me to draw the line to inflict so much pain on so many Americans, so many West Virginians, just because of one issue I like or don't like. There's a time for that. There'll be a time for this health care bill, the Obamacare. It'll either succeed or fail on its own. But we ought to try to make it better if we can. If we can't, then come to the conclusion we can't. But don't shut down government because you don't think it'll work. Or maybe you're afraid it will work. That could be it too. So with all that being said, I'd say to my friends, you'll never hear me say anything derogatory about you. You can always reach across the aisle to me. I'm always going to sit down and talk to you. I'm willing to compromise and work on any issue that betters the position that we have, that betters the quality of life, that creates opportunities, that makes us the strongest and most powerful nation on earth. And I will continue to fight for that, but I'm asking you for this time, don't allow this self-inflicted pain to continue. This is not fair to my state. It's not fair to the people in West Virginia. It's not fair to your state of Wisconsin, Madam President, or to anybody in this great country of ours. For that, I say thank you for allowing me to say what has been on my mind. I'm a proud American, and it's about this country first, and it's always going to be about this country first. If the United States of America does well, I'll guarantee you, the great state of West Virginia is going to be just great. We're going to do fine. But we've got to work together and put our priorities in place. Thank you, Madam President, and I yield the floor.
Madam President.
The Senator from Pennsylvania.
Madam President, first I have four